You know, normally, Lee, when you cut a plea deal, and I know this because I covered federal court, I covered state court, county court. When a prosecutor cuts a plea deal, it's almost always for one of two stated purposes. The person has agreed to testify on somebody against somebody higher up, somebody who's a higher value target criminally.
Right.
In other words, the prosecutor gets something for it.
Yeah.
Right. They cut a plea deal with him for that reason.
That's the term deal.
Right. And then the only other reason they'll do it is for lower level criminals because they can't try every case in the American court system. Right. So if you're on your first felony, they'll cut a plea deal with you. So they have the resources to try somebody who's on their fifth felony. Those are the only two reasons plea deals are ever cut in America. Trust me, I sat through years of it. Except by liberal Democrats. Nobody has noticed this. Except to, I will give that to their credit, PJ Media. I'm sorry, no, Powerline Blog did mention it. They did catch this. Wait a minute. What did the feds get for their plea deal with the three planners of 9/11, the three top guys, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed? Yeah. What do they get?
Good question.
See, you don't supposed to cut the plea deal with the top guys. You cut the plea deal with the lower level people right. in the organization to testify against that. You don't cut it with the top guy, not the guys who murdered 2,900 people and don't dispute it. They're not even saying they're innocent. Why would you cut a plea deal with them? Weird. It doesn't make sense. They didn't get anything. And it may be worse than we even think because they're keeping the details of this secret. The full plea deal has not been released. We don't know what it is, which means it's bad. We're not going to like it. I got a real bad feeling about this. I think it's worse than what we know. Look at the timing here. Just look at a few things. Yeah. I've been arguing this earlier.
There are no coincidences.
Not with the Democrats. Nope. So you let the 9/11 planners off without the death penalty. Now, Lee, this is, for normal Americans, this is an outrage, okay? Yeah. For normal Americans.
I would say even some abnormal Americans. Would
even some abnormal Americans, not Democrats, but abnormal Americans may be upset about this. Why wouldn't you, if you're a Democrat, if you're going to do this, why wouldn't you let them go in December? After the election, right? That's when they usually do all the really bad stuff. People are rushing around for Christmas. It's cold. Nobody's paying attention,
right?
Why do it now?
Yeah.
Why now? After 23 years. Gotta be before the election. Ah, there must be a target audience. What's the target audience? The target audience is the same people who don't want Josh Shapiro to be the VP because he is a Jew. Mm-hmm. And we know specifically who that is because progressive leaders have told us in a letter, an unbelievable letter. I never thought I'd see the likes of in my life to Kamala Harris. They wrote her a letter saying not that she should not pick Shapiro because it might upset. They actually wrote this. Young voters, Arab voters, Muslim voters, and activists. By that, they mean Hamas.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this.
You knew this was going on behind the scenes, okay? You don't want a Jew. You know he's Jewish, right?
But of course, only Republicans are anti-Semitic.
Sure,
Democrats never are.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, I think a lot of the American people don't understand this is not a national election at all. We are so divided as a country that in 44 states, the election is over. It's done. Nobody's even going to pay attention. It's either going left or it's going right. Doesn't matter. It's going hardcore either way. There are only six states for real that this thing is in. And one of the ones the Democrats have been sweating is Michigan. So why would you cut a plea deal with the 9/11 guys, which I believe they have to do? I think yesterday we heard from the head of the 9/11 Justice Commission. He represents over 1,000 of these families. And he said, look, they got to cut a plea deal because they can't let him come to court. They can't let him testify. We would finally get the answers we've been seeking that the government has been hiding. They keep a lot of the 9/11 details hidden in classified documents they still won't give us. They don't want us to know, right? That's what he thinks, right? So they were always going to plea with these guys anyway, because the Democrats were, because they don't want a trial. They don't want discovery. That's a disaster for the government, right? But why now? Again, you could have done this in December. And I'm telling you why, Lee. It's for the same reason. I could use that same sentence in the Josh Shapiro letter. Oh, you don't want to pick him, Kamala. It would upset. Upset is the word. It would upset Arab voters, Muslim voters, activists, and it would also upset young voters. Why? They're anti-Semitic. What trended earlier this year on TikTok, to our horror, in a good way? Bin Laden, his manifesto was rediscovered by a young generation of Democrats on TikTok, and they loved him. They thought he was so cool. It got so embarrassing for the Democrats, they actually had to ask the head of TikTok, could you please make it stop trending? Could you stop that? Because there's tens of thousands of these posts everybody loves. You know, we played some of it, loves Bin Laden now, right? You're trying to win Michigan. You know they're upset at you. You need a bold stroke to get them on your side again. To get who? We saw who. Do you remember who earlier this year? The massive street protests chanting death to America, demanding fealty to Hamas. And remember, they asked Gretchen Whitmer, who is the governor of that state, and the Democrats to condemn it. She wouldn't do it. Why? They can't. They'll lose the state. They're not going to vote for Trump. They just stay home.
Right. Which still works for, you know, the Republican candidate.
So if you wanted a grand gesture to show that you two are down with the Bin Laden is cool, he's kind of retro, man, what would you do? You wouldn't wait till December to do this.
No.
You'd do it now. Because this is going to make the target Democrat voters in Dearborn very happy. That's what you do. I'm telling you, it's that cynical. And don't tell me, oh, Biden didn't know, as Karine Jean-Pierre tried to say, oh, this has nothing to do with this. Yes, it does. You appointed everybody involved here. You appointed everybody involved here, and you know they checked before that. Hey, is it okay to go ahead and let the 9/11 attackers off before the election? Yeah, no, it's cool. We don't want it to happen in December. We need the folks in Dearborn to see it. It's what they did. It's what they did. And they did it for nothing. They got nothing in return other than they got, hey, you know what? The 9/11, we'll make the 9/11 terrorists available to answer questions from the families of the dead. Oh, do they have to tell the truth? No. We'll just make them available. That's it? And you get away with killing 2,900 people? You don't have to get executed? Yeah, they'll spend the rest of the days in Gitmo, where we spend $12 million a year per terrorist. Per terrorist. It's just an election move.
Well, just wondering, just thinking out loud here, which is dangerous.
Yeah, I know.
But what if this is a deal to then get them to get these voters to overlook the selection of Shapiro as the vice president pick for the Democrats? Because I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and I don't know. She may still pick him.
Yeah.
You know why? She needs Pennsylvania.
Yes.
She needs Pennsylvania
exactly.
Bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the Democrats, they have no choice. They have got to win Pennsylvania and Michigan or they're done.
But the other thing about Democrats is in these battleground states, they need the Jewish votes too.
Yeah.
And the anti-Semitic votes as well. They need both and the money. Exactly. And that comes from both the anti-Semitic wing of the party and both the Jewish wing of the party. Both of those sides are involved in the fundraising. But I'm just wondering if this is like a deal that they think they're trying to do, that on the one hand, you know, we're going to, do the plea deal with the terrorist, which, you know, obviously these are, you know, Muslim extremists. And then also, we're going to have a vice presidential candidate that's Jewish. We're trying to play both ends against the middle here and continue to appease Iran.
Yes. Now, here's the thing, though, about the vice president. They don't know he's Jewish. I'm convinced that that's why Trump is doing radio interviews now where he's pointing out that her husband is Jewish. Why would Trump do that? Because he knows it's going to set the left off.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know.
Well,
They don't know.
The vast majority of the voters don't know.
No.
And the Democrats are, you know, quite honestly trying to quietly hush that up. And, you know, it's just like the claims that Donald Trump is anti-Semitic, even though he's got people in his family who are Jewish. So,
like I said, you know, you're not going to hear Trump accused, at least not at the national level anymore, of being anti-Semitic. You're not gonna, because they can't do that now.
Yeah.
This is how crazy they are. They literally, they used to make it up. Obviously, his clearly favorite daughter and his son-in-law, who he had work in his administration, are Jewish.
Yeah.
He's not anti-Semite, clearly.
Yeah.
I don't think they can call him an anti-Semite anymore. It would upset their base. They're like, we love anti-Semites. Yeah. That's why we're in the street campaigning on Iranian money.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. Yeah. So as I've been saying in the Battleground podcast, you are watching the merger of the Democrat Party and the number one terror sponsoring and harboring nation on earth, which is Iran, responsible for Hamas, Hezbollah, and a whole bunch of terror attacks. And so you now have, I mean, you see these street protests with where the cops are getting beaten up and the Democrat prosecutors are letting the people who did it off. Who is paying for it? Joe Biden's donors in Iran. And you know what's nuts? Kirby admitted that this week. Yeah. We started the week off with that, with Kirby admitting, yeah, so what? Iran is funding these Democrat protests. So what? They're not funding the whole bill. It's only part. Oh, okay. Well, that makes it okay then. That'd be Iran, the world's foremost sponsor of terror that has killed Americans. In fact, it's killed Americans in the last year. Them? Oh, yeah, they're fine.
We've said ourselves, the director of national intelligence came out publicly and said that we do know that Iran has been funding and encouraging some of the protest activity here in the United States. Some of it. We do not believe that all the protest activity out there on a daily basis is being fully funded by Iran.
Yeah, so as long as it's not all of it, it's fine. As long as it's just some of our Democrat activities in the streets.
Right. Spreading the love around.
Yes. Crazy times we live in. Well, it's Kamala Mania. So says Van Jones. Yeah, it's everywhere. It's sweeping the country, he says. Yeah, well, she's been vice president for 4 years. And the way that Joe Scarborough described it 2 years ago was that she had the lowest rating of any vice president ever at 28%. A full 12 points at the time, lower than Joe Biden, who was deeply unpopular. And that the White House had stopped sending her out. She hadn't been seen. When you're that low, you're a drag on Biden. But she's a heartbeat of hope now, just so we're clear. So apparently our Al-Qaeda terrorists. By the way, I'm about to get another prediction correct. I told you last year when we'd have an interest rate cut. I told you last year, and I said when? I said it would be September. And here you go. Oh, based on the jobs report, though. Yeah, we've suddenly discovered something in the jobs report that shows us we got to cut interest rates. Why? So Joe and Kamala can go out there and brag and pretend, hey, look, we're fixing the economy. We're fixing inflation. It's all gone now. We can have an interest rate hike. No, it's not. Folks, the only reason we don't have 9% inflation still right now is because the interest rates are just barely holding it back because of all the printing we have to do because of the Democrat spending. And to be fair, because of the spending that Mike Johnson has continued tragically for the Democrats. He doesn't seem to be aware he's a Republican and he's our speaker. They can't hold that back, folks. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Shock will ensue when in September it is discovered that inflation is so cured that we can have an interest rate cut. Even though inflation right now is still twice what Donald Trump left us with at the time he left office. We don't usually do interest rate cuts at this level. Why? It's for show. And what are they saying? Well, the jobs numbers. I mean, the jobs numbers are kind of low. They're a little soft. So, I mean, it shows that we're doing good. The jobs numbers are soft, so we're doing good. Folks, the job numbers, let me tell you, are fake. They're totally fake. They've been fake. We've been covering how they are fake numbers. Why? Because they'll just spit out any old number that sounds good for the, you know, political lines they want to spew. And then they come back, months later and they add them back. We are on track to add back $300,000 jobs over 6 months. What does that mean? Well, we actually didn't create them. They just lied. What is going to happen when Jerome Powell raises rates, or excuse me, lowers rates in September? As I predicted, I told you that's when he would do it because it's political. It has nothing to do with the economy. What's going to happen? They're going to lose control of inflation a little bit for a bit. You're going to see it tick back up. They'll pretend to be shocked. You're going to see it tick back up again because the rates are the only thing holding us back from becoming Argentina or the Weimar Republic. And then, so it'll be announced in September to great fanfare. Ah, we cured the economy. We can lower rates a little. He'll lower rates a little. In the months after it, your grocery bills are going to go through the roof because inflation will come back because Congress won't stop printing and borrowing. That's what happens when Congress won't stop printing and borrowing. When Congress has made the conscious decision, Democrats and Republicans alike, hey, we're not going to have the middle class able to afford homes anymore. We're not going to have a real estate industry. We're not going to have those normal kinds of things, so we can start printing. But so they're going to cut the interest rates a little. There'll be great fanfare about how this marks the, you know, the end of inflation. We've got it. And then shock will ensue. I'm talking drama class style, full on fake shock. In November, end of November after the election, December, when inflation comes back. Why? Because of the interest rate cut. And then you know what he'll do? He'll go, oh, we might have cut interest rates too early. So we're going to have to raise them again. Mark my words. If you can find a way to make money off of it with your investments, do it, because it's what's going to happen. It's a fake interest rate cut, just a little bit to act so they can all act like, see the end of inflation, Kamala and Joe. Oh, they cured it. No, they caused it. And they know it'll take a month or two for you to see it again. That's why they got to wait to September. So if they had cut rates this summer, the inflation would be back by the election. They can't have that. They don't care if you can't afford groceries in December after they've won. They do not give a damn. In fact, if they win, they'll print more. They'll loot the treasury. They'll loot the treasury like you haven't even seen yet. You're going to be begging for a bread crust when they're done. If they win. But look, folks, I don't think they will. But if they win, that's what they'll do. So it's all going to be very, very fake and faked. But remember, I told you exactly the month it would happen. It's going to be September. Because you wouldn't see the resulting inflation until after the election. And they're willing to jack your grocery bill through the roof in order to get elected. Because they don't care. They don't care. Texter writes, warning, should Kamala Harris divorce her husband because he is Jewish? Got to keep the left happy. No, their plan is to keep people from finding out he's Jewish. I'm not over that letter from the Democrat progressive leadership. Hey, you know, might not want to pick Shapiro. We could upset the young voters and the Muslim voters and the Arab voters. Do tell, do expand. Why would that upset the Muslim and Arab voters? Why is that a problem? Could you explain to us? It's a wink, wink, nod, nod. They know what they're saying. We've not seen this from the Democrat Party. Not up till now. They're almost openly anti-Semitic. Well, you wouldn't want to pick that Jewish governor now, would you? Problem is, she needs him. She desperately needs him to win Pennsylvania. So they're trying to figure out how to do this without losing Michigan. Elder knees crying. That's the number one story. What's the number two story? Kamala Harris, her supposed black heritage. A black woman, except she was an Indian woman when she ran for the Senate. Those are the two stories people are most interested in this country right now. Fascinating, right? Fascinating. And Riley Gaines said this. The rate we're going here, a woman is going to be killed.
If this isn't a line we draw in the sand, I don't even know if a woman being fatally injured, if that's the line we draw in the sand. It's tragic that this is the reality. I predicted this, honestly. I mean, I could have told you. I've seen all over social media people saying, how did we get here? You shouldn't be surprised by this. This is what we should be expecting.
Peyton McNabb made the news over a year ago. She was a volleyball player. She's brain damaged now. Can't play anymore. Didn't get to go to college on a volleyball scholarship if she wanted to because she was hit so hard in the head. This is up in North Carolina. I don't know if you remember the story. She was hit so hard in the head by a male volleyball player, a transgender male volleyball player, that she not only has permanent brain damage, she has partial paralysis on one side and has difficulty walking still for any great length of time. Peyton McNabb, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I got to tell you, watching that video of you get hit is really hard. My daughter plays volleyball at the level that you do. And we had a girl on our team, a hitter, who was hit in the head by another girl from another team She had a brain bleed, went to the hospital, blackouts, couldn't play for a month. And that's getting a hit in the head from by a girl. So I can't tell me what this was like for you.
It was completely heartbreaking and traumatizing for me. I was so excited to go into my senior year, my last year, and playing a sport that I love, playing three sports that I love, because I've been an athlete since I could walk, three-sport athlete, and I was so excited, and it ended as quickly as it began. It was so frustrating, and because I don't know if I'll ever be the same as I was before that day on the court. My career ended that day on the court, and it's so upsetting because it was 100% avoidable. And my rights just weren't as important as a man's feelings. And that was just really heartbreaking.
You said that the person who hit you in the head and the teammates laughed as you were literally knocked out cold by this hit.
Yeah. While I was unconscious, people were rushing on the court to see if I was okay. And my teammates, like, you can see them if you watch the whole video, they just stand there in shock and they just like couldn't believe what just happened. And the other side, they all had gotten in a huddle and all were laughing at me, and my teammates were like inching over there and telling them, like, it's not funny, I don't know why you're laughing. And they just all were laughing while I was down.
Wow. Peyton McNabb, It's been over a year since we all read about you and we saw that horrible video of you getting hit. Can you tell us about, I know you've had physical challenges still from this. You are not completely healed from this. You say you won't, you think you might not ever be right. That's not just, hey, you can't play sports anymore, which you can't. Tell us about the ongoing partial paralysis problems that you have from this hit and the other problems you have.
Yeah, so thankfully, I mean, it's almost been 2 years, and it's gotten a lot better since the beginning, and I'm very blessed that it has, because the doctors didn't know how long it was going to take, but the Lord is healing me. It is really slow, though, because it was the brain, and the partial paralysis thing, I mean, that was really bad in the beginning. It's still not fully, I'm still not fully recovered from it, but it was really just my whole right side would drag, or it would just be slower, and I would be off balance a lot, fall. I had to go get my glasses redone because I couldn't see as good anymore. I have cognitive issues and have to get extra help in school, and that carried over into college. And that was also really frustrating because that's something that I had never had to do before. I was always a good student, and I couldn't even comprehend what my teachers were saying to me. So it's made school a lot harder too. There's just a lot of things that come from it. My body is still in shock from that day, and I'm just slowly trying to get better.
Peyton McNabb, what was it like for you? And I know you've made world news, not U.S. news, because as with all women who are hurt, seriously injured or killed by Democrat policies, the sentence for that, for embarrassing the party, is of course cancellation. So you've been canceled as if to the mainstream media, you do not exist. But the UK Daily Mail outside this country has acknowledged you exist. And you gave them an interview the other day. What was it like for you watching this poor woman in this Olympic boxing fight give up 46 seconds in, drop to her knees and cry as her life streams, as yours did, vanish before her face because she can't take another hit? What was that like for you?
It was absolutely heartbreaking. And seeing those pictures of her on her knees crying, it just breaks my heart in half because she has worked her whole life for this moment. An interview afterwards where she says that she fights for her late dad who told her to keep pushing and all these things, and then she had to give up 46 seconds later because they put her in a ring with a man who punched her too hard, because that's just so unfair. And she's just worked her whole life, and she's at the Olympics just to be put in the ring with a man. So it's morally wrong, and it's just hard to see because it just should not be happening.
You know, She could feel the danger of that hit to her face. You have that moment where you're like, I got to stop. I'm going to get hurt. You mm-hmm. know that moment well. How do you feel about the media's absolute unwillingness to acknowledge women could be hurt or killed here? Riley Gaines is saying, look, we're going to have a dead woman before we have a serious conversation about that. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I feel like I've always said, like, what's the magic number? Because there's been so many girls that have been injured, and I just never knew how many there was going to be until it was a big enough deal for the Democrats and the people above us, the adults that should be protecting us, how many have to get hurt before they take it seriously. But unfortunately, I agree with Riley. I mean, I think someone will have to die before people wake up and see that it is happening. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope no one does that. I hope it doesn't go that far with anyone, but that is the reality in which we live in. And we're just going to have to see where it goes, I guess, and keep fighting, because people are trying to act like this is not happening. And they're trying to be inclusive, but they're really just excluding all women and saying, you don't matter. Your safety doesn't matter, because they don't want to upset a man who has a false reality that they're a woman.
Unbelievable. Real quick question. I've always been curious about that. When you got hit in the head in that volleyball game that I think the whole world's seen now, did you know that was a transgender male that you were playing against, or no?
I did. Okay. It was really obvious, because we didn't play anyone that hit like that, and we had to prepare differently for this game. Almost my whole team, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but 99% of my team and like all of my administration, none of us wanted to do it. None of us agree with it. But we had no idea what to do. I mean, this was 2 years ago. I feel like if this happened today, we would kind of be like, okay, yeah, we're just going to refuse to play, because more and more people are talking about it, and we're forcing people to talk about it. Like over at IW, we're making this a conversation every day. And that really wasn't the case 2 years ago. So a lot of people say, you know, I asked for this, I agreed to play the game, but I had no idea what to do. And I'm definitely not afraid to stand up for, obviously I'm not, to stand up for what's right and what I believe in. But at the time, I had no idea like how we would even go about it. But yeah, we did know.
Well, Peyton McNabb, I hope that you are able to fully heal eventually from the hit to your head by this transgender male woman.
Thank you so much.
And I want to thank you for joining us this morning on 98.9 WORD. Used to love her. And the rest. All right, that's getting me in a Friday mood, hearing these bump tunes. Yeah, music was great when we were kids, wasn't it? Anyway, all right. Watch this. This is going to be fun, okay? So I'm going to tell you how this is going to go. Josh Hawley knows. Senator Josh Hawley has introduced a bill to declassify all the information around the attempted Trump assassination. Watch this. This is going to be fun, because the Senate is Democrat-controlled, right? You know what's going to happen? Democrats are going to kill it. He knows that. Why will they kill it? I don't know, but they will, because you know what? They know what's in there. No, they do. They know. The leadership does. I don't know if Rank and File do, but they know. Watch them. The only question is, how many days does it take them to kill this bill? I'll tell you what else is going to have to do. Somebody on the Republican side, because the House is Republican controlled, they're on the other side. They're going to sponsor bill too. I haven't found it yet. I try to find it. They always do companion bills, right? The House will pass it. The House will pass it, and the Senate will refuse to take it up. Something's up, y'all. Something is up. But this letter, folks, why is the FBI investigating? We've got the Secret Service investigating. They cannot figure out what happened. Are they confused, and they just need more time. But somehow, Senator Josh Hawley can figure out what went on. And every time he figures out what actually went on with the Trump assassination attempt from a whistleblower, we discover that someone with the Department of Socials, I mean, the secret, I'm sorry, somebody with the Secret Service lied under oath. In fact, the Secret Service held her knees crying. That's the number one story. What's the number two story? Kamala Harris, her supposed black heritage. She's a black woman, except she was an Indian woman when she ran for the Senate. Those are the two stories people are most interested in this country right now. Fascinating, right? Fascinating. And Riley Gaines said this. The rate we're going here, a woman is going to be killed.
If this isn't a line we draw in the sand, I don't even know if a woman being fatally injured, if that's the line we draw in the sand. It's tragic that this is the reality. I predicted this, honestly. I mean, I could have told you. I've seen all over social media people saying, how did we get here? You shouldn't be surprised by this. This is what we should be expecting.
Peyton McNabb made the news over a year ago. She was a volleyball player. She's brain damaged now. Can't play anymore. Didn't get to go to college on a volleyball scholarship as she wanted to because she was hit so hard in the head. This is up in North Carolina. I don't know if you remember the story. She was hit so hard in the head by a male volleyball player, a transgender male volleyball player, that she not only has permanent brain damage, she has partial paralysis on one side and has difficulty walking still for any great length of time. Peyton McNabb, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I got to tell you, watching that video of you get hit is really hard. My daughter plays volleyball at the level that you do. And we had a girl on our team, a hitter, who was hit in the head by another girl from another team. She had a brain bleed, went to the hospital, blackouts, couldn't play for a month. And that's getting a hit in the head by a girl. So I can't tell me what this was like for you.
It was completely heartbreaking and traumatizing for me. I was so excited to go into my senior year, my last year, and playing a sport that I love, playing three sports that I love because I've been an athlete since I could walk, three-sport athlete, and I was so excited, and it ended as quickly as it began. It was so frustrating, and because I don't know if I'll ever be the same as I was before that day on the court. My career ended that day on the court, and it's so upsetting because it was 100% avoidable, and my rights just weren't as important as a man's feelings, and that was just really heartbreaking.
You said that the person who hit you in the head and the teammates laughed as you were literally knocked out cold by this hit.
Yeah, while I was unconscious, people were rushing on the court to see if I was okay. And my teammates, like you can see them if you watch the whole video, they just stand there in shock and they just like couldn't believe what just happened. And the other side, they all had gotten in a huddle and all were laughing at me. And my teammates were like inching over there and telling them, like, it's not funny. I don't know why you're laughing. And they just all were laughing while I was down.
Wow. Peyton McNabb, it's been over a year since we all read about you and we saw that horrible video of you getting hit. Can you tell us about, I know you've had physical challenges still from this. You are not completely healed from this. You say you won't, you think you might not ever be right. That's not just, hey, you can't play sports anymore, which you can't. Tell us about the ongoing partial paralysis problems that you have from this hit and the other problems you have.
Yeah, so thankfully, I mean, it's almost been 2 years and it's gotten a lot better since the beginning. And I'm very blessed that it has because the doctors didn't know how long it was going to take, but the Lord is healing me. It is really slow, though, because it was the brain. And the partial paralysis thing, I mean, that was really bad in the beginning. It's still not fully, I'm still not fully recovered from it, but it was really just my whole right side would drag or it would just be slower and I would be off balance a lot, fall. I had to go get my glasses redone because I couldn't see as good anymore. I have cognitive issues and have to get extra help in school, and that carried over into college. And that was also really frustrating because that's something that I had never had to do before. I was always a good student, and I couldn't even comprehend what my teachers were saying to me. So it's made school a lot harder too. There's just a lot of things that come from it. My body is still in shock from that day, and I'm just slowly trying to get better.
Peyton McNabb, what was it like for you? And I know you've made world news, not U.S. news, because as with all women who are hurt, seriously injured, or killed by Democrat policies, the sentence for that, for embarrassing the party, is, of course, cancellation. So you've been canceled as if to the mainstream media, you do not exist. But the U.K. Daily Mail outside this country has acknowledged you exist, and you gave them an interview the other day. What was it like for you watching this poor woman in this Olympic boxing fight give up 46 seconds in, drop to her knees and cry as her live streams, as yours did, vanish before her face because she can't take another hit? What was that like for you?
It was absolutely heartbreaking. And seeing those pictures of her on her knees crying, it just breaks my heart in half, because she has worked her whole life for this moment. An interview afterwards where she says that she fights for her late dad, who told her to keep pushing and all these things. And then she had to give up 46 seconds later because they put her in a ring with a man who punched her too hard, because that's just so unfair. And she's just worked her whole life, and she's at the Olympics just to be put in the ring with a man. So it's morally wrong, and it's just hard to see, because it just should not be happening.
You know, she could feel the danger of that hit to her face. You have that moment where you're like, I got to stop, I'm going to get hurt. You mm-hmm. know that moment well. How do you feel about the media's absolute unwillingness to acknowledge women could be hurt or killed here? Riley Gaines is saying, look, we're going to have a dead woman before we have a serious conversation about that. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I feel like I've always said, like, what's the magic number? Because there's been so many girls that have been injured, and I just never knew how many there was going to be until it was a big enough deal for the Democrats and the people above us, the adults that should be protecting us, how many have to get hurt before they take it seriously. But unfortunately, I agree with Riley. I mean, I think someone will have to die before people wake up and see that it is happening. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope no one does that. I hope it doesn't go that far with anyone, but that is the reality in which we live in. And we're just going to have to see where it goes, I guess, and keep fighting, because people are trying to act like this is not happening. And they're trying to be inclusive, but they're really just excluding all women and saying, you don't matter, your safety doesn't matter, because they don't want to upset a man who has a false reality that they're a woman.
Unbelievable. Real quick question. I've always been curious about that. When you got hit in the head in that volleyball game that I think the whole world's seen now, did you know that was a transgender male that you were playing against, or no?
I did. Okay. It was really obvious, because we didn't play anyone that hit like that, and we had to prepare differently for this game. Almost my whole team, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but 99% of my team and like all of my administration, none of us wanted to do it. None of us agree with it. But we had no idea what to do. I mean, this was 2 years ago. I feel like, yeah, if this happened today, we would kind of be like, okay, yeah, we're just going to refuse to play, because more and more people are talking about it. And we're forcing people to talk about it. Like over at IW, we're making this a conversation every day. And that really wasn't the case 2 years ago. So a lot of people say, you know, I asked for this, I agreed to play the game, but I had no idea what to do. And I'm definitely not afraid to stand up for, obviously I'm not, to stand up for what's right and what I believe in. But at the time, I had no idea like how we would even go about it. But yeah, we did know.
Well, Peyton McNabb, I hope that you are able to fully heal eventually from the hit to your head by this transgender male woman.
Thank you so much.
And I want to thank you for joining us this morning on 98.9 WORD. Used to love her. And the rest. All right, that's getting me in a Friday mood, hearing these bump tunes. Yeah, music was great when we were kids, wasn't it? Anyway, all right, watch this. This is going to be fun, okay? So I'm going to tell you how this is going to go. Josh Hawley knows. Senator Josh Hawley has introduced a bill to declassify all the information around the attempted Trump assassination. Watch this. This is going to be fun because the Senate is Democrat controlled, right? You know what's going to happen? Democrats are going to kill it. He knows that. Why will they kill it? I don't know, but they will. Because you know what? They know what's in there. No, they do. They know. The leadership does. I don't know if Rank and File do, but they know. Watch them. The only question is how many days does it take them to kill this bill? I'll tell you what else is going to happen to somebody on the Republican side, because the House is Republican controlled. They're on the other side. They're going to sponsor bill too. I haven't found it yet. I try to find it at the break. They always do companion bills, right? The House will pass it. The House will pass it, and the Senate will refuse to take it up. Something's up, y'all. Something is up. But this letter, folks, why is we the FBI investigating? We've got the Secret Service investigating. They cannot figure out what happened. Are they confused, and they just need more time. But somehow, Senator Josh Hawley can figure out what went on. And every time he figures out what actually went on with the Trump assassination attempt from a whistleblower, we discover that someone with the Department of Socials, I mean, somebody with the Secret Service lied under oath. In fact, the Secret Service former director who resigned and the current one now, the acting director, have told so many lies under oath, I'm having trouble keeping track. Really, they should both go to prison. Because that's a crime. If you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat or part of a Democrat administration, it's just, you know, good politics. Anyway, the latest is shocking. Acting director of the Secret Service, Ronald Rowe, personally directed cuts to the Secret Service agency crew that pre-secures rallies. They're called the Secret Service Counter-Surveillance Division, okay? That's the division that performs threat assessment of event sites before the event occurs, including, get this, inside the perimeter and outside the perimeter. He cut the Secret Service counter-surveillance for this particular rally. Who? The guy currently running the whole Secret Service now. Trump is in mortal danger. I hope he has a good crew protecting him, because this guy is dangerous. The whistleblower continued. They did not perform the typical evaluation at the Butler site before the assassination. They were not present on that day because he cut them. And he didn't tell Congress when they asked him about personnel cuts. The whistleblower told Senator Hawley this is significant because the counter-surveillance division's duties include evaluating potential security threats outside the security perimeter and mitigating those threats during the event. The whistleblower says if the personnel had been present that day instead of cut by the guy running the Secret Service now, the gunman would have been handcuffed in the parking lot after being spotted with a rangefinder. In other words, 130 minutes. No, I'm sorry, an hour and 30 minutes or 100 minutes-ish before Trump spoke. Unbelievable. The whistleblower further alleges that the head of the Secret Service, the current one, personally directed significant cuts to the counter-surveillance division and retaliated against those who complained that it put Trump in danger. Oh, this stinks to high heaven. Okay, you put that with, oh, our drone didn't work, so sorry. Yeah, darn. If it had worked, we'd have found a gun. Well, but you didn't have the bandwidth. No, we didn't have the bandwidth. So sorry. Well, strange, because the shooter's drone had the bandwidth, though. Yeah, okay. Well, then how do you explain how then local police said, hey, use our drone. We got this great law enforcement drone. It is built to identify shooters and neutralize them. Nah, we don't want that. We don't want that. Folks, let me tell you what's terrifying here. Think about this. Joe Biden, Biden administration, could have put anyone in charge of the Secret Service as the acting director after Kimberly Cheadle resigned. Anybody. Pick me. I don't know. Pick Lee. Somebody. I don't care. We'd have done a better job. But who does he pick? The guy who cut the security so Trump could be maybe possibly assassinated. And what will that guy be doing now? He's leading the investigation into himself. Why would you pick the guy responsible for this? By the way, you know, Kimberly Cheadle was more of a figurehead. This was the guy running the on-the-ground day-to-day operations, and he gets a promotion because Trump almost dies? He gets a promotion because a man had to jump on his family to save them from a hail of bullets with his body? Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And now we're finding out, excuse me, as Hawley is saying, Senator Hawley is saying, he didn't tell Congress this when he was specifically asked about cuts. Why are these people lying? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you this. When we finally get the whole truth here, it's going to blow your mind. I think it's going to horrify the country. And I think it's going to be pretty obvious this wasn't incompetence. This was something else. Have a great weekend. Used to love her. And the rest. All right, that's getting me in a Friday mood, hearing these bump tunes. Yeah, music was great when we were kids, wasn't it? Anyway, all right. Watch this. This is going to be fun, okay? So I'm going to tell you how this is going to go. Josh Hawley knows. Senator Josh Hawley has introduced a bill to declassify all the information around the attempted Trump assassination. Watch this. This is going to be fun because the Senate is Democrat controlled, right? You know what's going to happen? Democrats going to kill it. He knows that. Why will they kill it? I don't know, but they will. Because you know what? They know what's in there. No, they do. They know. The leadership does. I don't know if Rank and File do, but they know. Watch them. The only question is how many days does it take them to kill this bill? I'll tell you what else is going to happen to you. Somebody on the Republican side, because the House is Republican controlled, they're on the other side, they're going to sponsor bill too. I haven't found it yet. I try to find it at the break. They always do companion bills, right? The House will pass it. The House will pass it, and the Senate will refuse to take it up. Something's up, y'all. Something is up. But this letter, folks, why is we the FBI investigating? We've got the Secret Service investigating. They cannot figure out what happened. Are they confused and they just need more time. But somehow Senator Josh Hawley could figure out what went on. And every time he figures out what actually went on with the Trump assassination attempt from a whistleblower, we discover that someone with the Department of Socials, I mean, somebody with the Secret Service lied under oath. In fact, the Secret Service former director who resigned and the current one now, the acting director, have told so many lies under oath, I'm having trouble keeping track. Really, they should both go to prison because that's a crime. If you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat or part of a Democrat administration, it's just, you know, good politics. Anyway, the latest is shocking. Acting director of the Secret Service, Ronald Rowe, personally directed cuts to the Secret Service agency crew that pre-secures rallies. They're called the Secret Service Counter-Surveillance Division, okay? That's the division that performs threat assessment of event sites before the event occurs, including, get this, inside the perimeter and outside the perimeter. He cut the Secret Service Counter-Surveillance for this particular rally. Who? The guy currently running the whole Secret Service now. Trump is in mortal danger. I hope he has a good crew protecting him because this guy is dangerous. The whistleblower continued. They did not perform the typical evaluation at the Butler site before the assassination. They were not present on that day because he cut them. And he didn't tell Congress when they asked him about personnel cuts. The whistleblower told Senator Hawley, this is significant because the counter-surveillance division's duties include evaluating potential security threats outside the security perimeter and mitigating those threats during the event. The whistleblower says if the personnel had been present that day instead of cut by the guy running the Secret Service now, the gunman would have been handcuffed in the parking lot after being spotted with a rangefinder. In other words, 130 minutes. No, I'm sorry, an hour and 30 minutes or 100 minutes. Ish before Trump spoke. Unbelievable. The whistleblower further alleges that the head of the Secret Service, the current one, personally directed significant cuts to the Counter-Surveillance Division and retaliated against those who complained that it put Trump in danger. Oh, this stinks to high heaven. Okay, you put that with, our drone didn't work, so sorry. Yeah, darn, if it had worked, we'd have found a gun. Well, but you didn't have the bandwidth? No, we didn't have the bandwidth, so sorry. Well, strange, because the shooter's drone had the bandwidth, though. Yeah, okay. Well, then how do you explain how then local police said, hey, use our drone. We got this great law enforcement drone. It is built to identify shooters and neutralize them. Nah, we don't want that. We don't want that. Folks, let me tell you what's terrifying here. Think about this. Biden administration could have put anyone in charge of the Secret Service as the acting director after Kimberly Cheadle resigned. Anybody. Pick me. I don't know. Pick Lee. Somebody. I don't care. We'd have done a better job. But who does he pick? The guy who cut the security so Trump could be maybe possibly assassinated. And what will that guy be doing now? He's leading the investigation into himself. Why would you pick the guy responsible for this? By the way, you know, Kimberly Cheadle was more of a figurehead. This was the guy running the on-the-ground day-to-day operations, and he gets a promotion because Trump almost dies? He gets a promotion because a man had to jump on his family to save them from a hail of bullets with his body? Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And now we're finding out, as Hawley is saying, Senator Hawley is saying, he didn't tell Congress this when he was specifically asked about cuts. Why are these people lying? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you this. When we finally get the whole truth here, it's going to blow your mind. I think it's going to horrify the country. And I think it's going to be pretty obvious this wasn't incompetence. This was something else. Have a great weekend.